You can have a seat. This week on Sunday Unpacked, we'll be covering who Matt sounds the most like. So you can send those suggestions in, and we'll cover that in depth this week. We could. One announcement I forgot, and it's really important, so I want to make sure we get this in here. Some of you may have heard of our Hope Packs program, some of you not. If you don't know what that is, we have a group of people who gather every week, and they pack bags for kids in our public school system who depend on school lunch, and we send those home for them to have some food over the weekend. So this year, like, it is a way bigger program than it ever has been. We have over 200 kids that we need to send food home for every week. So our team is in need of some help, and they're in need of donations. So every week you can look in the bulletin and see what they need the most. If you want to give a cash donation, that's fine too. They can buy stuff, but please take a look at that. You can bring them anytime you want during the week or on Sunday, but it is really going to take us as a congregation to meet the need that we have this year. So if you can help with that, please do. Okay. Several of you are new this week, and I'm really glad that you're here, and you're here on a good Sunday because we're starting a brand new series. You know, in our culture, we put a lot of labels on people, and those labels can come from lots of different directions. It might have to do with what region of the country you're from, or what sports team you cheer for, or your race, or your gender, or lots of different things. And some of those labels are meant in a really positive light, and some are meant in a really negative light. But it's easy for us, when we begin to see the labels that people are putting on us, to find our identity in those labels. And that's just false. Because who we really are is the person, the people, that God sees. And maybe you know the song, it's on the screen now, "I Am Who You Say I Am," right? It's a great song, and there's some great lines all the way through that song. But this series takes its title from that song. And I want us to think over the next 5 weeks about who God says we are. How do we form our identity through what God says about us in Scripture? So each week we're going to take sort of one component of what God says we are and think about how that's at work in our lives, okay? And one of the things that we might think about is our purpose. Why are we here? What does God have to say about why we're here? Now, the truth is, whenever we think about purpose, whenever we think about why we're here, it is really easy to get distracted from our purpose, whether we're talking about purpose in the home or at work or among friends or some volunteer thing we do. That all has purpose, but we can get distracted from that really easily, especially when we're busy or something's just not going right in our life. We forget our purpose. It happened to me several years ago. Leanne and I were going to visit a church. We were thinking about going to that church to minister there, and went for the interview. And the big interview was really on Saturday morning. So we got there Friday, went to this interview Saturday morning, and it was relatively early. So we're going to grab some breakfast at a drive-through restaurant. And we went to this drive-through, and it was not moving. Like, I was going, the last thing I want to be is late, right? And it looks like we're going to be late. So we got to go somewhere else. The other thing I didn't want to do was go on an empty stomach, so I was thinking just somewhere along the way, we'll find something to get. So I Dunkin' Donuts, thought coffee, muffin, we can make it. That'll be great. And so I stopped, and I'm like sprinting, although I don't really sprint. I was walking as fast as I can walk, okay, to the door, and I saw this guy out of the corner of my eye, and he was coming to the door too, and I thought, I can beat him. And what he doesn't have a job interview this morning, and I do, and so I need to be in front of him because I'm almost late already. And so I almost started to speed up and then stopped. And I thought, this is not the way it should be. So I opened the door for him, and we smiled, and then he opened the door for me, and we sort of nodded at each other, and I got my muffin and wiped the crumbs off my shirt as I was getting out of the car, and went in and sat down in the pleasantries, and we chatted for a few minutes, and we're just about to start the interview, and one more guy came in. Guess who he was? And that's one of those moments where I firmly believe that the Lord God intervened in my life to remind me of who I was and the person I needed to be and not the jerk that I could have been in that moment, right? Didn't get the job, but I made a good impression on that one guy, okay? But we sometimes forget. We forget who we are. We forget why we're here. And that's what we need to be reminded of. Now today, I have one lesson that I want to leave with you about who we are, and all we have to do to get at this lesson is to cover the whole Bible, okay? So buckle up, we're going to be here a while. Not really, we're going to do it in 20 minutes, okay? The whole Bible in 20 minutes, and we're actually going to start in Genesis chapter 1, all right? Genesis chapter 1 is the story of creation. And we're going to start in verse 1, but we're going to start with the creation of humanity. And that comes in Genesis 1, beginning in verse 26. This is what we're told. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So, God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Three times in two verses, we're reminded that we are made in the image of God. And that's where we're going to start. We are made in God's image. Now, the natural question to ask about that is, okay, in what way are we in God's image, right? And Christians and Jewish scholars have been working on this for several thousand years, and there's not really consensus on this. I mean, is it because we have an eternal soul? Is it because we have a sense of right and wrong? Is it because we have this deep desire for God himself? Are those the ways that we are made in God's image? Is it one of them, all of them? Honestly, I'm not completely sure. But what I do know is that there is a function that makes really good sense to me for us to be made in God's image. And here's how it goes, okay? So, the language of Genesis 1, if you read through that this afternoon, and I would encourage you to do that, is very formal. In fact, a lot of our newer translations sort of set it off kind of like poetry, but in a really formal way. It's not like somebody just telling a story. And it really mirrors the language that we see in the building of both the tabernacle and the temple later on in Israel's history. So, you've got this general space, all of creation, the temple courtyard. You've got this inner part of this space, the Garden of Eden, the holy place. Now, in a temple in the ancient world, the most holy place was the place where heaven and earth interlocked, where the presence of the God was there. Okay? The Holy of Holies was literally, for the people of Israel, the most holy place in the world. And in those holy places in the ancient world, what people would do, the pagans in the world, would always take an image, carved of wood or stone, hammered with all kinds of precious metals, dressed up. They would put that image in the most holy place. It represented the presence of that God. What did God do in the most holy place of his creation, the Garden of Eden? He placed his image. The humans. The people who were made in his image. And so I think the function of us being made in God's image is that we are the image bearers of God. We are here to reflect the very image, the person, the nature, the character of God to all creation, to all of humanity. Our job is to show the world who God is. And that's why when we go over to the next book in the Bible, Exodus, in chapter 20, God is giving Moses sort of the instructions of how his people were to be his people. So what set them apart from everybody else? Part of what set them apart we see in verse 4. "You shall not make for yourself an image. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, Yahweh, your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments." In God's temple, the most holy place, the place where heaven and earth interlock, there will be no image of this God. Why? Because the people are the image of God. There didn't need to be a piece of wood that represented the presence of God on earth. He had all of humanity to show His presence. But you also may remember that when Moses came down from that mountain where God had given him all these instructions about how the people were to be the people of God, what did he find? He found all this commotion going on. The people gathered around something. And what they were gathered around was this golden calf. They had made an image of God. They had talked Moses' brother Aaron, the high priest, into making this image so they could bow down and worship it, and it would represent God to them. And Moses and God were both furious about this. And this is sort of the beginning of what was to come, where the people over and over made the decision that they needed some kind of image, that they needed an idol to bow down to worship rather than the one true God who had made them in His image. And so they gave up being image bearers to the world and created images for themselves to bow down to worship. It's called idolatry, and it got them in trouble over and over again, and it separated them from God, and it led to death. But God wasn't finished. In fact, I was just reading through 2 Timothy a little bit yesterday, and Paul in that letter tells Timothy that God's plan was in place before the beginning of time. So before what happens in Genesis chapter 1, before Adam and Eve sinned, before the idolatry of the people of Israel, before you and me, God already had a plan, and the plan was Jesus. That God Himself would come and live among us and remind us of what it means to be an image bearer. Remind us of what it means to show the world who God is, and to restore our purpose to bear the image of God to the world. It's all summed up in John 3:16-17. "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him." God had a plan, and the plan was Jesus. And it was all about restoring what it means for God's image to be in us. And how better could God do that than to come Himself and show us what it looked like, and then to pay the price for our sins on the cross? Paul explained that a little further in Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 15. He said, "The Son is the," here we are again, "the image of the invisible God." The word "image" there is in Greek icon, which we get our word icon from. The icon, the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Skip down to verse 19. "For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him," Jesus, "and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross." There's the heart of the story. God came and showed us and reminded us and restored us through the cross of the purpose that He gave us from the beginning. That people would see who He is through us, that we would bear His image. The problem is the people of Israel, as they worshiped idols, and we continually distort that. We continually mar the image of God so that people can't clearly see who God is because we keep messing up. It's called sin. When we choose stuff that is going to be more important than God, even though God says, "Don't do it, it will tear your life apart," we do it anyway because we think it's better. That too is idolatry. We're reminded over and over again that God will deal with that. Colossians chapter 3. "Do not lie to each other. Since you have taken off your old self with its practices and put on a new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of the Creator. God is making it new. He is making you and me new over and over again. And as we mess up, and we will, we'll probably regret it, we'll feel bad about it, but the good news is we can be forgiven. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. There are going to be times in every one of our lives when we will say to ourselves, I am not showing people who God is right now. I am not showing people through my words and through my actions what God is like. They are not seeing His goodness. They are not seeing His love. They are not seeing His kindness. They are not seeing any of that. And that's when we have to ask for forgiveness, so that we once again can bear the image of God to the people around us. But this is not the end of the story. We were created to bear this image to the world around us. Literally the cosmos, John uses that language in John 3:16. For God so loved the cosmos, the world, everything that is, that He sent His Son. But we're still looking forward. We're looking forward to a time when we as image bearers we'll be finished with our work, because the Lord Himself will be among us and we will be His people. John describes that in the book of Revelation. We started in Genesis 1. We're going to finish in Revelation 21, where John paints us a picture. It's a little bit lengthy, but hear what he has to say. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and He will dwell with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He was seated on the throne and said, I'm making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. We look forward to a time when we will see God as He truly is. We have seen Him in each other. We have seen Him more clearly than that in Jesus Himself. But none of that compares to what we will see in the end. But for the here and now, as we think about why we were created, why we were placed here, what is the purpose of this existence? What Genesis and Exodus and Jesus and Paul and John remind us is that we show people who God is. It is our job to bear the image of God to creation around us. Now, what that means is there are times that we have to look in our lives as image bearers and say, I'm not doing this very well. The way I'm conducting business, or the way I'm talking to my kids or my spouse, the way I'm showing a lack of concern for people in our community, every one of those things shows that I've got an idol that I'm worshiping myself. You know, it's funny how it is. The work I've got to do, the things that are on my to-do list, they're the most important things in the world to me because I've got to do them. And the pain that I feel more acutely than anyone else's pain. Why? Because it's my pain. And I can get so distracted by my things that I've got to do and my pain that they become my idols. And I serve them. And when I do that, I do not reflect the image of God to the people around me. So there are times when each one of us has to say, I'm not doing this well. And I want to repent of that. And I want the image of God restored in me. But you know, we are not free, independent agents on this. We are the body of Christ bearing the image to the world around us together. And so there are times when we as the body need to say, well, there are ways that we could show people who God is better than we're doing right now. There are ways that people could understand the glory and the power and the love and the grace and the kindness of God if we just changed what we were doing. And so as the image-bearing people of God, we have to adjust. We have to change. Because from beginning to end, what God is telling us over and over is that it is our job to show people who He is. Let's pray together. God, we want to bear Your image to the world around us. You have said that part of who we are, the very core of who we are, is that we are made in Your image. So help us to show the world through the story that You've given us of Jesus what it means to be Your people. Pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and continue to worship.